Hi, everyone. Welcome into Maisie Days. I'm Amanda Maisie, here with my husband, Randy. You just got off the bus from Western Kentucky. How's that back of yours feeling?
Actually, not too bad. Went to the drugstore and refilled my over-the-counter prescription for last week's episode. Here we go.
Sponsored by Midol. Another weekend of baseball. We'll just kind of touch on that. Another 2-2 weekend. You have BYU coming up this weekend, opening Big 12 play. What do you like about your team right now, and what do you dislike?
Well, you know, I think I said it on one of the other episodes that we did that everybody gets kind of all in a tizzy when you don't win all your games early on, but we've played 3 consecutive 4-game weekends and have split, gone 2-2, I think, in all those weekends. And that's a grind. I mean, I think we're 7-6 right now. In our 6 losses, the first one was by 2 runs, and the next 5 were by 1 run. On the road, with all the injuries we're dealing with, you know, everybody says, you know, when you tie somebody, it's like kissing your sister. Well, when you lose 5 in a row by 1 run, it's like kissing your brother. It's awful. But looking at it overall, we're in a pretty good spot. We've had a ton of injuries, and to grind out what we've grinded out. The good thing about these 4-game weekends, imagine how good we're going to feel this coming weekend when we only have 3 games and can take all those pitchers that have been pitching in 4-game weekends and jam them into 3-game weekends. I really think the early season grind, as usual, is going to help us.
So, Maisie, you might not know this, but I look at the analytics of who listens to this little podcast. We have somebody in Germany. So we are a worldwide podcast. Did you know that?
I did not know that. It makes me want to go have some Wiener Schnitzel for lunch.
What is that?
It's kind of like a veal thing. My old college roommate was part German and went to his house one time. Shout out to Oliver Whitaker, left-handed pitcher. We went to his home and his mama made us some Wiener Schnitzel.
So it's a thing.
Oh, it's a real thing. Google
it. All right. Well, I'm actually part German, so I should know this. But I have to give a shout out to some of our listeners because people actually enjoy this podcast, which I love. But we have some of Weston's friends, Jake Hollander. Shout out to Jake. He listens. And his mom, Mindy, very good friends of ours. And your old coach, Mark Ginther at Oklahoma State. He wants to listen. He's like, he wants more episodes so he can listen in the car.
I don't understand that. There's not anything that I could possibly say on any of these podcasts that Mark Ginther hasn't already heard.
That is true.
So, God, talk about bottoming out to the depths of entertainment. That's what Coach Ginther is doing.
Coach Ginther, the guy that makes you laugh more than anybody I have ever been around in my 22 years with you. I've never seen you belly laugh as you do with him.
My favorite part of the last 5 years here, however long Ginther was here, was the 30 minutes in the locker room after practice and after a game, just reflecting on what happened. And that's important stuff. I'm glad nobody was recording it, though, because yourself included, and Miss Taylor Ginther included, none of you guys have any interest in hearing anything that was said in those 30 minutes. It's just between me and him.
And that's how it should be. But that also brings up what a special relationship you have with all of the coaches. It's a fraternity, and I know you guys hang out in the locker room before, after. You've been blessed to have great coaches surrounding you, and the staff that we have now, it's been tight and always will be tight.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to miss the most. I'm going to miss going to the office, hanging out with the coaches, talking about what we talk about, hanging out with the kids. The baseball stuff's going to be fine. Coach Saves and those guys, they're going to win their games and have great players, but I'm going to miss the relationships. Actually, so far this season, some of the coolest things that I've done personally was gotten to know Coach Tremper a little bit at Stetson. What a great dude. Coach Woody at Charlotte, we spent a lot of time talking before the game. And Coach Reardon at Western Kentucky, I've known him. He's been a junior college coach for 20 or 30 years. I've had that relationship, but actually got to know him a little bit more, and we have a lot in common. And he actually asked me if I'd be willing in my retirement to come down and visit with him and speak to his team and share my experiences. And I thought that was kind of cool. So I've always thought relationships make the world go round. I've always tried to like everybody. A lot of people make it difficult. Oh,
yeah.
Can't do it with everybody. But speaking of that, I've got a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh.
I listened to last week's podcast after the fact. You edited out some of my jokes.
Because they weren't funny. I'm sorry.
That wasn't part of pull the contract out. I need to reread this contract. If you're going to do that, I'm just going to have to tell twice as many. If you're going to go to the trouble of editing out my jokes, I'm going to make it as hard on you as I possibly can.
You can't say the same joke every single week. Listen, if you want to learn how to edit, Mr. Technology, then you can do it. But if the power is in my hands, I got this.
The people want to know. So here's this week's joke. This is an old classic handed down by my grandfather. I'm going to teach people how to catch a bear in the wintertime.
Oh, this is a good one. Our kids love this.
You say that, but nobody's laughed at it since 2004.
Because you keep repeating it over and over. But okay. It was funny the first 10 times.
So how do you catch a bear in the wintertime? This is what you do. You go to a frozen lake and you cut out a big hole in the ice. And you take a can of peas. And one by one, you line the peas up around the hole. And when the bear comes up to take a pee, you kick him in the ice hole.
Are you laughing at your own joke again? At least somebody does.
But it took you a couple years to get it.
It did not.
You kick him in the ice hole.
I know. Do not do that. That's rude. Talk about relationships.
That's
this
a
relationship.
Shout out to my grandfather. That's his joke.
Gooster.
Yep, old Gooster. Thank you.
Yep. Let's tell a story that's real. You teased this last week. The App Store. This is 100% real, everyone. And this just gives you an insight into Maisie's lack of technology skills, if we want to call it. But this is a story that is 100% true.
Let's not call it a lack of technology skills as much as lack of interest in technology.
This is true.
I don't know what year it was. You know what year it was?
We were at TCU, so sometime
2008, maybe.
Probably.
15, yeah, I don't know. I like to invest and learn about investing and had been reading a lot of books on investing. And you decided for Christmas that year, you got me an iPad and you also got me an e-subscription to Investors Business Daily, IBD. And I thought that was cool. As I tried to look it up on the iPad, I could never figure out. I was Googling it. It would never come up. This is in February. This is, a month and a half after Christmas. I finally got frustrated and called the company. And I said, my wife got me this e-subscription on this iPad, and I can't get it to work. And the guy said, you have to go to the App Store and download it. And I remember telling him, I'm like, that's bullshit. She got me the e-subscription so I wouldn't have to go to the store. So what good is it to have it on my iPad if I have to go to the store? So I waited and waited and waited. And we were playing at New Mexico when I was at TCU. And we were walking to dinner after one of the games. We walked into a strip mall. And there was one of those stores that had an apple on top. Our director of ops, Meredith, was with me. I said, what is that place? She said, that's the Apple Store. And I'm like, that's got to be what the guy was talking about. I said, do we have one of those in Fort Worth? She said, yeah, it's right down from the stadium. So when we got back to town, she sent me the directions to get to the Apple Store and the App Store. And I drove down in there and parked the car and got out with my iPad and walked in. And there's 15 people in line. The place was jammed up. And I was standing in line and got to the front. And some young girl was standing there. I told her a story about the e-subscription. And the guy said, you need to go to the App Store and download it. So here I am. And she looked at me and then she looked around like it was some kind of hidden camera TV show. I said, what's the problem? She said, are you being serious? I said, I don't understand what you're talking about. And she grabbed the iPad, and touched a couple buttons, and I had my e-subscription. So we have a happy ending on my first and only trip to the App Store.
I bet she tells the same story all these years later. This guy walked in and he didn't know what he was doing and he thought this was the App Store.
Now I know. The best way to learn things in life is to screw it up. Once you screw it up, then you got it. So I've never been to the App Store since. So I learned.
You did learn. And that is a fantastic story. And one that people, as soon as you start kind of saying, there's the App Store, when you tell this story to people, it clicks in their head and they realize where it's going and they can't believe it. But that's what I love about you. You just are kind of naive when it comes to this stuff.
You know, a lot of people, you watch baseball now and there's all these terms and terminology, and I'm serious when I say I don't know what any of it means. People out there listening that know a lot about baseball, they talk about, there's a thing called WOBA, W-O-B-A. Everybody keeps talking about, I have no idea what WOBA is. And there's B-A-B-I-P, I see all the time on the major leagues. What the hell is BAPIP? I don't have any idea. You just see the ball, you hit the ball, and do the fundamentals and play the game. And who cares what the analytics are? It's baseball. Simplify it. Just go play the game. When I retire, please nobody out there ask me what BABIP is, because I don't know.
You tell the story of having pitchers that maybe don't have such a great outing in a game, and as soon as they're done, they want to see the spin rate, this, this, and that. And what do you tell them?
I hand them the box score. Here, you might think you did great, but you pitched one inning, you walked two, gave up three hits and four runs. I don't care how fast the ball was spinning. I care how many times their cleats touched home plate while you were the pitcher of record. That's what matters.
So while you were in Western Kentucky with baseball, our daughter Sierra had a hockey game, and I witnessed parents from another team just basically losing their shit on referees, kids, you name it. They were cursing at the kids. They were pretty vile. They were saying things to our kids after the game as they were walking into the locker room. And I just want to say, this other team won. So this is how they were winning. I can't imagine how they would have been in losing.
Yeah, that'd be cool if in my retirement years, if somebody established a position called National Coordinator of Parenting of Youth Athletes. I would be passionate about that job, because it's every time I start my seminars with parents, the first question I always ask them is, how many of you have ever been mad at one of your children's sporting events? Everybody gets mad when they go to a sporting event, and it's supposed to be fun for the kids. And when they get mad, number one, it's serving no purpose. But the worst part is their kids know that they're mad. And the reason kids don't succeed and stop playing is because of all the pressure that are put on them by adults to win at all costs. I've tried to make a difference, but it's talk about climbing Mount Everest in your bare feet. Because when you have seminars, the people that need to be there wouldn't dare come to something like that. You can't, don't tell me how to act. It's repulsive to watch how people act. And if I could make a difference in this world for anything, that would be it. Because my only dog in that fight is making sure that the kids have fun playing sports, because 80% of all boys quit playing baseball by the time they're 15 years old. 80%. That's 4 out of every 5 kids that was in youth baseball when you were 8, 9, and 10 are no longer playing by the time they get to high school. They quit because the adults take the fun out of them, fun out of it for them. If you're a kid and you're not having fun doing something, don't do it. If you're an adult and you pick up a new hobby and you want to try it and you're not enjoying it, how long are you going to do it? Why do we expect our kids to do the things that you wouldn't do?
I asked Sierra after the game, because it was a great game. It was a clean game. Nobody was dirty. And I said, Sierra, I said, did you hear those parents? And she said, yes. And she said, Mom, she said, we were all having fun on the ice together. Both teams were getting along. She said, we were having a great time with the other team.
I know a couple of things that are never going to happen. Number one, if an umpire makes it, and by the way, we play this game when we go recruiting. I play it in my own mind. I pick the parents of each kid on the field based on how they're acting. Most parents only yell at the umpire when their kid's batting, or they only yell at their shortstop when their kid's pitching, when he made an error. So I can usually pick out every parent of every kid without knowing. What are the chances that if your son gets called out at second base when he slides into second, and the umpire calls him out and he was actually safe, as your son's running off the field and you're yelling at the umpire as loud as you can go, what are the chances that the umpire is going to look at you and say, oh my gosh, ma'am, I didn't realize that was your son. Oh, okay, he can be safe just this once. Just for you, I'll let him go back to second. Do you think that's ever going to happen? It's never going to happen. So what are the chances that you're doing anything productive? All you're doing is you're actually teaching your children how to behave when something goes wrong. That's what you're doing. You know how many calls get missed? Balls and strikes in Major League Baseball in 1 week. These are Major League umpires. This is the best of the best of their profession. In 1 week, on average, 1,100 pitches that were either balls get called strikes or strikes get called balls, according to today's technology, the TrackMan and the WOBA and all that stuff. So the best umpires in the world miss 1,100 pitches per week. The guy who's making $20 at a 12U game, and he's probably 15 years old, thinking about doing it as a hobby, he's going to miss calls. Don't let it affect how much fun your child has playing the game.
In that hockey game, we ended up losing by one, and there was a goal that was called off. The puck actually crossed the line. I mean, I witnessed it. I actually videoed it. It crossed the line. A player pulled it out before the ref could see it, and they called it no goal. I just stood there, and I was like, well, that sucks, but they're human. Yeah, I didn't get mad. I wasn't yelling. It's a youth sport. Nobody's going to get fired. They're human, and I don't, even though it went against our team, I don't get mad.
On a side note, my brother, Brian, would be super happy because Sierra scored a goal. You sent me the video. A backhander right under the crossbar. We call that the top shelf in hockey. So every time Uncle Brian talks to Sierra about hockey, he always asks her, where's Mama keep the peanut butter? On the top shelf. That's where all the goals are. So Sierra made Uncle Brian proud. She went backhander to the top shelf for the goal and then exhibited an excessive celebration.
You're not a fan of those.
I deemed that excessive.
But she celebrates with her teammates. Both of our kids, when they score, they don't skate away or run away. They celebrate with their teammates, which is
very
important.
That's what they're taught to do.
Correct. And they do that. That's how you should celebrate.
No, she did some kind of Robin Hood, pull an arrow out of a quiver, act like you're shooting a bow at the moon before that.
Well, this was fun. I'm going to say we should open up our podcast to questions from listeners. If people have it, we've always been an open book. So if anybody has questions about us, baseball, whatever, we'll answer them.
They need to come to the Monday show one time. I'm not afraid to tackle any question that anybody could put out there. I will answer it.
That is true. You do answer them. Even if the people are criticizing you, you answer it. And I love that about you. That makes you pretty unique. And yes, we do have the Monday show every Monday night at 7 p.m. You always bring a couple of players. We have a lot of fun. And that is at Mondays in Morgantown.
Here's something I didn't tell you based on last episode. Jeff Morris reached out to me. Haven't talked to him in a little while and texted me and said somebody sent him the podcast. He appreciated the shout out. Little Jeff Morris, that little 18-year-old kid that I was talking about, he's like 50 now. I felt so old. He's a grown man, and what a great story. And I shared it with the team, too. Believe it or not, this is always an unintended consequence when you tell this story to your team. There's always a guy, at least one, that texts me and says, hey, coach, can I talk to you? What do I got to do to play on this team? So I'm having that meeting this afternoon with a player. So that's really cool. That story means something to people.
Absolutely. And I don't think I told you, Steve Harris reached out to me and said, thanks for sharing my story. And
so he listened too.
He did listen.
Yeah, both of those guys have meant a lot to me in my career and have maintained a relationship with them over the last 20, 30 years. That's pretty cool.
Very cool. All right. Well, high five, babe. Another episode. We'll do this again next week.
We actually did high five each other. I could have just clapped my own hands.
True.
But we actually high fived each other.
Yep.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. You're stuck with me.
Let's do a cliffhanger.
Okay.
Next week episode is all about how this program in 10 short years went from where it was to where it is. I got some pretty good stuff. Some pretty good lessons that can teach people, not just the baseball team, but no matter what you're doing, to take something that seemed insurmountable at the time and climb the mountain.
I like it.
Let's do it.
That's what we'll do. So we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.